This was a good, this was probably one of your better days.
Moving on, we're gonna go to resolution 2606, amendment to the cannabis license local improvement process and cannabis social equity policy and social equity policy. So, the clerk will read the resolution.
Motion, Mr. Zini.
Second.
Motion, get the reasons. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed.
It's way.
Still have to vote?
Aye, that's what I'm saying. Somebody has to make a.
A motion to vote?
Yeah, somebody has to make a motion. Move resolution 25-06. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any talk, any debate?
Max?
I do want to ask.
I'll tell you.
All right, go ahead. I did want to ask town administrator, through the chair, would this put us at legal liability with the state?
No, I actually, I did get in touch with them. We did submit it on Halloween and they haven't reviewed it yet. I just said, let's just amend it, you know, based on what I heard in the last meeting, you know, Mark and I met with Steve a couple of weeks ago. We made the changes and they basically said have the council re-vote it with whatever the changes are, resubmit it, and then we'll get feedback from them. But November, December, January, I doubt we'll have to read it now by February, March, April, so who knows? So it's no legal liability or jeopardy with them. They actually recommended to us to have you guys amend it the way you wanted it to before they went in full review.
Okay.
I know, this is all new, so it's, I don't think anybody knows where the goalpost is. It is what it is.
If they don't like it, they'll tell us.
Right, that's, I tried to get the guy over 5 emails too. Could you just give me some feedback on the draft from October? Could you give me a smell test? Like, just something? Wouldn't do it. So I said, all right. So we met Steve and said, we'll just give it a shot, see what he says. If they have a problem, tell us.
And Jamie Jeff Ryan had no luck either?
No, I told him it really, it wasn't gonna really help. He did interact with them and he did try to give them a little bit of a shot, but I think it didn't matter. The licensing person said, we haven't read it. Just amend it, send it back, and we'll do another review instead of reviewing it twice, which, it's not a long document. You could have read it in an hour and told us what's lost, but.
Okay. So all in favor of resolution 26-06?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. Resolution 26-07, gift to accept Franklin Public Library, $500. Clerk will read the resolution.
There's a note here that I need to read you, the memorandum before the actual gift acceptance. Mr. Chairman, if that's okay.
Sure.
So this is a memorandum from our town administrator dated January 16th, resolution 26-07, gift acceptance at the library. The library has received an extremely generous donation in the amount of $500. This donation was made by Mr. Jeff Nutting in memory of Mr. Ken Norman. In Jeff's words, Ken was a wonderful person and a true public servant who gave countless hours to our community. I will miss him. This donation will be applied towards children's programming at the library at the discretion of the library department. The town extends our sincere appreciation to Jeff for this donation and shares his sentiments about Ken Norman, who was an exceptionally dedicated member of the Franklin community and a dear friend to many. Our deepest condolences with the Norman family. The donation summary, Franklin Public Library Department, $500, donated by Mr. Jeff Nutting. Jamie, I don't know if you have anything to add, it says ask me questions, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory. So, okay to read the actual risk acceptance of the gift. Acceptance of the gift to the Franklin Public Library. This is resolution 26-07. Whereas the Franklin Public Library has received a generous donation in the amount of $500 to be used at the discretion of the library department as follows. Donation summary, Franklin Public Library, $500. Donation to be applied toward children's programming at the library at the discretion of the library department. Donor information is included in tonight's packet. Now therefore be it resolved that the town council of the town of Franklin on behalf of the Franklin Public Library gratefully accepts this generous donation to be used at the discretion of the library department for the purpose noted above. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 2607, gift acceptance.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion passed. So, Jamie.
Yeah. Really quickly, I just want to thank the fire department, police department, DPW, and our veterans and volunteers for doing an amazing job cleaning up the common and orchestrating the entire procession for Officer Laporta last week. They did a great job. If anybody saw it on TV, it was just an incredible ceremony, and our staff had a lot to do with that. I was really proud to see what the veterans did, so thank you to them. I just want to note in my memo on the budget hearings for the council are May 20th and 21st. Just a little typo, even though that's been published everywhere else. I'm not going to go through this memo just because it's late. I would just say to any of you, do you have any questions? Any comments? I did email Councilor DeLorco. We did set up a meeting with the school committee chair, I think, in a couple weeks.
2 weeks.
I did give all these dates to the school committee and the superintendent, so nobody should feel like they're left out. But does anybody have any questions about the process, the memo, the timing? Happy to answer them, but it's pretty well laid out right there. You know, there's one other date on here I didn't put on, which was March 18th. At your meeting, Department of Elementary and Secondary Education is going to come in. I did invite, while we were meeting, the headmaster, Heather, from the charter school to come to that meeting as well, so that if she has any feedback and commentary on how charter schools relate to the Chapter 70 formula, I'm happy to add her to that conversation. But I would just ask if anybody has any questions or comments.
I've just, and I know staff capacity is an issue, Jamie, but is there any plans to maybe even at a lesser rate but to bring back those joint budget subcommittee meetings? Because I do think the feedback we got from the public was very positive, and they felt very they're well attended. They, you know, people asked a lot of questions. I do think it dispelled a lot of rumors. You know, we're just in an age when we have to do more to try to engage more people in these budget realities, and I feel like if we stop those open conversations, we're kind of hurting ourselves. But maybe we don't. Maybe we just can't do six. Maybe we can do.
I mean, I agree. I just don't know who's doing them, when we're doing them. I mean, we can do them in March, but after the February 11th meeting, you know, if I'm going to put out a budget for FinCom for the first week in April. My team, it takes about 4 or 5 weeks for Lucas, the school staff, all of us to produce the documents for a budget release. So it's hard. I'm open to any ideas people have. I agree the feedback is good. It ultimately didn't work in the end because it lost. It's just tough. I don't know.
I think there's more to doing them than just to try to get an override passed.
Well, that wasn't also just for an override.
No, I know.
I mean, I know it literally was, but
I think it wasn't successful.
I think, well, part of it, I'll say, is this. It didn't really draw out that many people, right? It did. But, yeah, everyone had 20. You came to all of them. Yeah, there was an extra different 10 or 15, 20. You know, you came to a lot of them. But we're just still missing thousands. And those thousands of people that we did engage are not coming here for a meeting. And they're not going to the Elks. We did one at the Elks, RJ, library, I mean, seniors. They're not coming out. And I think part of it is we have to go to them, and this is a hard reality, right? I think a lot of you, school committee, the finance committee, have to figure out ways on how to reach people so that they care about this stuff, right? And I don't know the answer to that. The FinCom is gonna go through every line item, every budget. I mean, they're gonna dig in, they go through every line item of everything every year. Love if people went to the finance committee meetings, but people just don't. We had a great conversation last week, 2 hours about development. For the people that watched, I got a lot of great feedback, but generally it's the same people watching too. So for all the questions swirling around the economics of 444 and everything else, you know, and I thought the finance committee's folks really picked it up. I mean, they really did kind of understand the cause and effect. The chief spoke about it. Superintendent spoke, like, I just wish people would go to the finance committee meetings, because everything that people are saying they want is happening there. It's just tough, right? You can kind of know who's on it. We're happy to have more joint budget meetings in March.
I'm gonna piggyback on.
But I mean, once you get to April, the goal is to, I think, help people understand the budget more. So, and then, Mr. Chairman, you'd have to appoint 4 members here.
I got them already.
If you want to appoint them, and I'll try to get a group together, because I assume the school committee has 4 people. You know, finance committee has 4. I mean, they'll just do the same 4 or 5 from last year, but.
So I'll appoint them right now. It would be Councilor Malloy,
okay.
Ken, Ted, and Gene.
All right, I'll see if the school committee members are there. In the finance committee.
Do I appoint the chair?
Good question. Let's go back and look at the charge.
Yeah, look at the charge.
We'll try to do something. But I guess I gotta be a little, the 16 elected members have to figure this out. Ultimately, the finance committee is gonna go through a review, they're gonna give you a recommendation, and it's gonna be fairly balanced, right? It's gonna be professional, mature, it's gonna be based on what they know, there's a lot of expertise on this committee. But at some point, we need the school committee and the town council to lead this community, to organize people, to have them be interested in this. This is a 15, 20-year problem that the staff are just not going to be able to get the excitement out there. And unfortunately, that means on your end, and I mean this sincerely, all 9 of you and all 7 school committee members have to sacrifice other issues from other time, parts of your life. I have heard that some of you have met with some other people, try to talk about these budget issues, and I think organically and serendipitously the elected officials have to figure out how to do it. I don't know how else to do it.
I don't know how to do it either. But what I look back at is when we started the SAFE Coalition,
right,
and how we got the word out to the SAFE Coalition, and we filled,
we filled
that whole auditorium
at the high
school. And they were outside. Now, I don't know how to do that, but if we could do that and get it at the high school that way, we could reach a lot more people. Unfortunately, I don't have a way to do that either, but if there's any other ways we can do that.
And the town really didn't have a lot of big role in that.
You guys had no role in it, really.
Right, when I got here. You guys were just marching on your own thing.
We went door to door, we knocked on doors. We did, huh? And that's what we did. We knocked on doors, we gave pamphlets out every night, and that's what we did. And it worked. I was amazed at that, because it was standing room only. And that's a big auditorium, and it was standing room only. But that's what we did. Saturdays, we went out and knocked on doors. We did a lot of things like that. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But I still don't know. They might shut the door in your face too. You know what I mean?
You're never gonna know what they're going, what they're
right.
Going.
No, I agree.
But love the idea of knocking on doors. Love the idea of having this and doing it. You know, when there isn't what some people will consider an ulterior motive, when there isn't an override on the budget. But if we're going out there and schedule something, you know, late enough where what we're doing is having a discussion about the budget that's proposed and why it is what it is. That's much more educational for folks. And yes, they will have concerns, that's fine. We want them to bring those concerns and recognize where the issues are, and so that we can also explain why the decisions that are made are the decisions that were made. Help them understand the constraints that we are working with. Because that's how you start to build that groundswell for down the road. What do we do differently? But to get there, to your point, that will require us, you know, and I'll speak to this later, will require us kind of knocking on doors, talking to our constituents or just you know people that we know so that they are aware and they can start talking to their folks. And if we have a venue like the high school auditorium where we're having a discussion, where we've got the school committee, the finance committee, and the town council discussing the budget of Franklin, you know, with no motive other than educate folks, I think we will get people who want to better understand the things that are stressing them out. And yeah, we'll get some people who want to complain or who want to push a specific point, but there'll be more communication and better education, which is what we sorely need as a town.
And you might find good people too, because that's how we found Jim Derrick. I'll be honest with you, Jeff, he got up and spoke, and I was sitting next to Jeff Roy, and I said, there's our guy. We didn't, because me and Jeff and myself didn't do it because, you know, we're too busy. Jim took it, and then Jen was already on board. Jen took it, and
through that concept, this is where teachers matter. This is where people on the staff matter. This is where the people that are affected by it matter, right? Jim was affected by that crisis, so he had a stake in the game. And, you know, I've said it publicly a million times before, I don't know how to make our staff and other people who are, like, roads, infrastructure, right? There are people on this call tonight that are huge infrastructure advocates, you know, but they're not willing to go out and make that case to voters about what we heard tonight. And so I think, to your point, there are voter lists in the last two elections, you know who came out for the override votes, you know who are interested in budgets one way or the other. I mean, I think there's other ways, but there's got to be a coalition of a group of people formed to try to go out and do what you did for the SAFE coalition and other things to try to get people to matter.
And even if what we do is not six, but like two or three budget education sessions, that can be a very powerful tool for getting people of Franklin in the know. And that's where sending out an email to voter lists and just, you know, is one way. Knocking on doors is another way. But you know, Facebook is certainly another way. Getting the awareness out there, giving them options to just come and learn about what is actually happening, what's going on down the street, why it's happening, I think that's an opportunity that we should at least be pushing.
I think the teachers have a big role in this, to move it forward.
I think teachers are aware.
But you tell 10 people, Caroline tells 10 people, Ted, I tell 10 people, they tell 10 people more. That's how we get the ball rolling. Yeah. It's a snowball.
One of the things that I think we're all recognizing is that we have challenges in this town, and some of them are, many of them are focused on financial. There isn't a quick fix. We're going to have to make decisions, but we need to get together as a group to make those decisions. And that's going to impact teachers. That's going to impact the fire department, the police department. That's going to impact DPW. That's going to impact your kids, your parents, and all of us. So if we don't get out there and, if we don't get out there and actually have this conversation, we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
No, I agree.
Otherwise, what the hell are we doing?
Chairman, I just want to ask for you to the town administrator, are you able to reveal, will we be able to propose a level service funded budget or something close to it, or is it going to be a block?
I mean, right now, first of all, the governor's budget comes out on the 28th, Wednesday, the cherry sheets. I'll know Friday at the MMA conference, the governor will give her speech, and lieutenant governors check out what budget will be at this year. They already did per pupil last year, so I doubt you'll see another increase in that. Obviously, we've put out the report and tried to really push the other number pretty heavily because that helps all of us I would say if the legislature and governor funded the $351 million for 351 cities and towns for the UGGR request that the MMA is pushing, that would lessen our deficit from last year by half. So that's not chump chump. And I'll be writing a letter, you'll get it on February 11th. Lucas and I are writing a letter to our legislative delegation. We're gonna pass it off to the school committee and the council and see if you'll advocate as well. We'll see what the governor starts with on the 28th. New growth is obviously plummeting, so our tax base is going down because of a lot of the issues that you guys are aware of. Departments, we just got through department meetings today. So I don't know where all the numbers fit yet, Max. Some stuff's going up with hopefully more aid. Some of the other numbers are gonna go down. They're gonna change around. We have some certainty on pension. So at the end of the day too, I will say, and I put it in my memo, healthcare is gonna be the one number, despite all these meetings. It's all gonna change around Memorial Day when we get the bill from the GIC and whether or not we save money or whether there's an increase in that line item. Superintendent and I have already had two meetings. We already agree on so much, if not the whole proposal. But I will say, you know, on February 11th, you look at the capital program, there's about $2.3 million left in free cash after the Finance Committee recommendations. So my guess is this year is, because I think to Councilor Duke's point, I think what you'd love to do is just kind of get this year by, even if you have to use one-time money. Because I still think the longer-term strategy is probably more important than just looking at right now this year. Even if you have to make a little cuts, you have to use one-time money, I think there's a way to make it all work. But I'm nervous about FY 28, 29 in the future. Because what you saw here, too, tonight, is you're gonna probably need to do a water rate hike for the hillside tank. And this comes into the conversation we had, there's water rates that went up, things out of our control went up with price, CPA thing, the debt exclusion just hit for Tri County. I don't know how much more bandwidth the public has for more money coming out of their pocket to anything.
I think
some people just say, great, let it break. And that may be what has to happen too. So.
But I agree, if we can get through tonight towards getting to it, it will give us more time to get out there and get to the people and get the big thing that we want done. We're on short terms right now, you know what I mean? So.
And I think the reframing, or as I'm thinking about what's happened, and if we're able to kind of put it together this way, Jamie, and we can get through this next year. I think it's, to your point, it's more about the structure of it, structural deficits you've been talking about for years. It's the financial structure of the town going forward for the next couple of years. What are we gonna need? How much money is that gonna take? Where are we gonna get it? And I think we're really inviting people to become educated about it, but I think the hook that we have to find is their participation and what they can do to help, whether it's through ideas or other contributions. I mean, I'd love to ask residents and employees of the town, what would you do to save money? Because there's a couple of components to it. What we could save, what we could raise, what we could, how do we fill those gaps and get them to participate in that somehow? I'd love it if we can kind of frame it in a different sort of way, how are we all going to work together to try to address our financial needs for the next couple of years?
To combat that, I think what you're trying to say is we need your help. Please give us your help.
Let us share the problem with you. Let us learn together what the problem is.
Right, exactly.
We've got to get educated around what's happening, where there's opportunity maybe to save, where there's opportunity to grow, where there's opportunity to further invest or raise money, how you're going to do that. Just my two cents.
No, I kind of agree.
To go on to that point, I think that you know, last year when with the budget cuts after the second failed override, when we lost the summer interns and the trash pickup, I felt like that was, a lot of people were very angry about it, but it seemed to me that that could have been an opportunity to say, hey, listen, this is where we all share in the responsibility here. We just need to take your trash, whatever you bring in, you take out, we're all doing this together. And I think if you looked at it that way, at least to me, it actually didn't seem like this huge burden. It didn't seem like, you know, vindictive or punitive, which is what, you know, a lot of the residents said it was. And I feel like maybe that was just a failure in the communication or the, I don't know, or even just the setup of it, the way that it was discussed. And so, you know, to your point about getting people on board, I think, you know, even if it's some of these things that come out that, hey, we've got to cut back on this, if we can get people to kind of see it, listen, it's just, we're all in this town. We all have to take care of it together.
Yeah.
I think we can get a lot more buy-in, a lot more support for those kind of
we gotta get them.
Measures.
We gotta get them.
We gotta get them. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. We have to figure out what we do on our side to get them there. I think we could have gotten there. The previous town council could have gotten people there. I don't know where that broke down, but I thought it was just a way of sharing responsibility.
Well, without the immediate pressure of an override or not, I think that takes a lot of heat out of the discussion.
Because I don't think a lot of people came. This is just an open discussion anyway, yeah. But I don't think a lot of people came because they said they're gonna talk about the override. I'm not voting for the override, so I'm not going.
Well,
so
they came because of the override,
oh, yeah.
And they wanted to argue for it,
yeah,
or against it.
Yeah, either way, whatever. I think we lost a lot because they weren't gonna come because they were voting no anyway.
Which is why it's so important to do it when there isn't an
yes.
Override.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Jamie and I don't remember now what meeting we agreed that we were gonna try to do this, so forgive me. But at some point we talked about having a retreat with the council and the school committee on Saturday to just sort of have a kumbaya with a, I believe we even talked about having a mediator, you know, somebody other than you and Lucas that could, you know, kind of guide us through, not necessarily goal setting, but I believe it was much more about the budget and about morale and just about the two groups working together. I don't know if that kind of fell off just because of the staffing challenges or maybe you're working on it and we don't know about it, but if we could, I think that's sort of like the precursor to doing these big public joint budget meetings instead of it being forced. Because I feel like everybody gets their dukes up when they're fighting for their budgets,
oh.
And then it almost becomes like counter what we're trying to, you know.
So a couple of things on that. You're right. I think it comes to Griffith's point too. I've said to the library board of directors, friends of the Franklin Elders, the senior center, teachers, like every group lost something. And what's so disheartening is they can't see the losses of everybody else. And somehow come together to realize everybody's sharing their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a sociology thing these days, it just feels like everyone's really just stuck in their lane. It's hard to get them out. I think that's where leadership comes in. You're the elected citizens, peers, you and the school committee. And a lot of this, I think, does fall on the town council and the school committee to lead the community towards somehow educating these issues, but also to Council Griffith's point, I think. Sometimes people have to hear a lot of things they don't want to hear. And in terms of retreat or strategic planning, in the February 4th meeting, you know, we'll try to start the early list of goals. They'll have an executive session of GOC land stuff that night, which deals with goals. But I think if you want to have a third party come in to try to manage a five-year strategic plan, a retreat almost. You know, February 4th would be the day to decide that, right? And say, okay.
Make it a goal.
Make it an immediate one. Get buy-in from the school committee, the superintendent, and say, we're gonna go spend $25,000 of free cash today to hire a third party. I'll have a few examples. Rentham just completed theirs. The town of Westford just completed theirs. Westford looked at value. like they stepped up another 10,000 feet and said, who are we? Because they had a major financial problem too. And they lost a $7 million override a year and a half ago, and they went, it was the same problem here, right? It was just a lot of fighting, a lot of discontent, and they stepped back and said, you know, what are we fighting for here? What are our values as a community? And it was a, you know, therapy process, basically, right? It's kind of getting everybody together and reflecting, like, we can do something like that, you know, and then look out 5 years and say, what are we trying to accomplish here? Do we want a police station? Does that fit in? Yes, no. Remington Jefferson, does that fit in? Yes, no. Do you want to go out and borrow money for a debt exclusion? Yes, no. Do we want to fit, you know, and you try to work, do we want to still prioritize sustainability? You know, I mean, there's a lot of questions you could add to this, right? But they'll referee that, and we'll pick a consultant, and they can walk you through that process. That's going to take some months, but that kind of piggybacks with the concept of, let's try to scrape by this year and figure out where the numbers are. I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, a lot of the advocacy and side work I do on weekends and here or there with the administration and the legislature will work, and they'll give us a bump in local aid this year in an election year. I really hope that. You know, and I really think it's advantageous for them to do that, and hopefully that'll help us out. But if we can scrape by this year, you guys can kind of see that strategic plan working, you know, longer
give
term.
Us time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the master plan should be the guiding principle, because that already had a ton of work and a ton of people contributing, but having... to take a strategic plan from them,
that's right,
and is our next step. And it's the only, in my opinion, it's the only way we're ever going to get consensus.
And we'll say one flaw of the master plan, in my view, was they really didn't put a school park in, which seems to me to be a massive oversight and a big problem that somehow the core and heart and soul of your community was not reflected in that long document, you know? Just a missed chance to really, especially while the schools were going through redistricting, you know, what's their vision for 5 years? We hear about everything we've lost, but nobody talks about where are we going. And with all due respect, like, a lot of the stuff that was lost was due to declining enrollment, declining interest. Like, there were reasons why things were lost. Right? And there was actions that weren't taken by previous school committees years ago. But still, the question for the master plan should have been, where do you want to be in 10 years for the school department? And make them go through that exercise. You guys shouldn't have to go through all that. There's a school committee to do that. They should show them through where they are in 5, 10 years, right? I know they dip into it a little bit, but I think that it might be a healthy exercise to bring everybody together and at least start that.
We can do it together.
Right?
Where maybe they wouldn't feel under the microscope or attacked or
totally
defensive, or maybe the school committee folks would truly feel like, you know, hey, it's a new day.
Absolutely.
But we got to figure this out. Yeah.
And I would love to, that's right.
Entities to set it.
Right.
Well, we're meeting. We're meeting. Jamie set a meeting up for
third.
We'll bring that all up.
But to that point, Ted, I think also, you know, how do the schools fit into water rates? It may not directly impact them, but water rates are more money out of people's pocket. So when you ask for an override and you don't know people are already taxed out because of water rates, Tri-County debt exclusion, Beaver Street Interceptor, people are just saying, I don't have any more here. Sorry. I don't care what it's for.
But that's 100% where we are.
And we need the school committee members to understand the DPW constraints, right? We need everybody to understand each other's constraints.
But that's why this conversation is so good.
That's what we just, I'm glad we had it.
I think there's benefit to this.
Let's move on.
Nothing else.
I'm all done. So, you want to go to future agenda items, Councilor Malloy?
And Councilor Comments?
You can do Councilor Comments together.
Wrap them up together. Jamie mentioned some of the recognition I wanted to give to the town for the funeral for the officers. So that was great. I was going to mention, too, maybe for the people watching at home, if there's anybody left or watching it on tape, to go look at that finance committee meeting from last week. That was great. very helpful, very useful. Future agenda items, there's a lot coming up, so I don't know when I'm going to throw anything in the pot right now, so I think we've got. Yes, sir.
Councilman Malloy, I spot on with you with your comments and recognition on those pieces. One of the things, in terms of comments, one of the things I appreciate about this council is just kind of the range of experience and perspectives that we all bring to it. It's fantastic. Everybody's on to their time. Trying to contribute to our community. But, I was thinking back on some of the appointments, and, clearly we've had Mark Minichelli's comments, and today with both Isabel and Jen. I agree, and, have questions as well. We need to get answers to certain questions, but let's try not to make these volunteers feel like we're putting them in front of a firing squad. We already have an issue where we don't have as many volunteers as we'd like for qualified volunteers as we'd like for positions. And it's great when people realize, oh, there's something that I might be interested in when I have the ring. That's fantastic. But we've got a process in place for a reason. And so when there's an appointment, let's take a look at it, take a critical look at it and try to respond to that. But let's also try to be respectful of the fact that these are individuals who are looking to volunteer their time to serve the town of Franklin, just the same way we are. I don't know that I can stress that enough. And I'm not saying that anybody's being mean or I just know, like, if I were sitting in their seat today, I might have felt more under the gun than I think we wanted them to, especially when these were unanimous votes for both of them.
Okay, so. All right, well, Ken just took most of my comments. To reiterate that, and we don't want to appoint people who, we don't want to grill them on, like, would you do what we want you to do? Because we are looking for people who are, they're qualified and they are good fits, and we want a diversity of perspectives there. And so I think as long as, they're being nominated for their merit and their fitness, which is, what our charter says, then that's what we are determining. So I'm going to leave that because I think Ken said it really well, much better than I can. Another thing I want to say about the conversation with the CBA is that Mr. Halligan got up and he made a comment about how someone online was disparaging him and making comments that were inaccurate and could be damaging to his career, to his reputation, and I think that is just a major problem. And then 10 minutes later we saw someone get up at the microphone and then make similar comments about one of our nominees. And so I was just so struck at how we had one person, and they were making the same points, right? They're both really, arguing for other candidates, but they were, one was saying, this was done to me and it's not okay, and the other one was saying, well, he's doing it to her. So I just think we need to be very, very careful about the information that we are taking in, and the information that is being shared and putting a stop to that. Like, he doesn't need to be grilling her at the microphone. That wasn't, the right situation for that. But also, I know we got, at least, I've seen an email saying, I've heard these things as well. And so we just need to be very careful that when we're getting information that is not validated, that we don't know whether it's true, that we're not allowing that to color our perceptions of people. And then my last comment is that I just want to recognize Steve Sherlock, who is still here at 11 at night. He's always here until 11 o'clock at night as the only person left in the room. And he does so much. He's here, he's always recording, he gets the summaries up. But you're making sure that the community stays informed, and you're giving all of your time and half of your night. And I just wanted to say thank you for what you do, because it is a sacrifice, and we recognize it, even if it's not commented on all the time. So thank you.
Thank you.
You all set, Kat?
I'm on.
Max?
Did you skip some?
No, we go down. That's how we do it.
Oh, okay.
on council comments, but a lot of times we just go right down on comments.
So yes, I just wanted to let people know that I put out a poll about goals for the upcoming meeting. We're going to be discussing our goals. I want your feedback. Going to be trying to, it's not binding, but I'm going to try to use that to inform what goals I put forward. And if you get to the poll online by typing in the URL bit.ly/goal poll. That's bit.ly/goal poll. And I'm happy to hear your feedback. It's based on the master plan goals. Have people nominate a bunch. Please vote. So it's not a scientific poll, but it is helpful to get your feedback. And if any other, I can have up to 3 counselors for open meeting, and if you want to look at them and deliberate on them, I can't have 5, but if I can have 3, I think that's a lot. So if you're interested, let me reach out. And that's it.
Jay?
Don't really have too much, because my brain cells are slowly dying, and I need sleep. But I do want to look at putting something on the agenda, basically so we can start the process of looking at increasing the ZBA, because if it does have to go to a ballot vote, I would like to try to get it so we can maybe put it on the November ballot. And that's pretty much all I have to say. And please, everybody, don't park on the road Sunday night if you're getting 12 to 18 inches of snow. That's it.
Ted?
Okay, so hold on a second. I don't know if everybody got the email, but I wanted to make sure the public was aware of the call for artists and writers that went out from our cultural department. Long, and if you're not, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but basically, Corey Shea and the Cultural District and the Cultural Council, they're all working together for this program called Franklin Welcomes the World, because of the World Cup coming.
Yeah, right.
And it is an economic opportunity for the town. It's also a way to celebrate. So there's a lot of great information up on the website. They're working with hotels, they're working with restaurants, cafes, public spaces, but they're looking for artists that want to put work up, and they're looking for poets that want to exhibit their writing. Anybody can apply as long as they live or work in Franklin. If they grew up here or maybe studied here at Dean, but I would encourage you, if you're interested, to, you could reach out to Corey, you could look on the website, but there's a lot of, really lengthy email, but there's a lot of really great information here. Shout out to the new Kojo restaurant that's open at downtown across from Birchwood. Had a little growing pains with how busy they were when they first opened, but I think they figured it out. We were able to go there and enjoy a really great meal. The service was fantastic. The inside looks great. Such a giant leap from where it was. Kudos to the owners and everybody for what they're doing. Thank you to the 30-some-odd people that did email us today about the ZBA. Thank you for sharing your either your concerns or your questions or just your props for those people. Jane, I think what you were trying to say earlier about excise tax goes back 50 years when, and it's not a town of Franklin issue. It's,
no,
it's what people were sold as to what excise tax was supposed to be.
No, I knew it wasn't specific to Franklin.
Right.
I think Jamie
heard it as a Franklin thing, but
yeah, no.
I remember my parents talking about excise tax and that it was oh, it's a state thing and it's gonna go to roads and it's gonna go to help because that's a benefit of driving a car. And Bobby and I were laughing that, well, wasn't excise tax also supposed to pay for the Mass Pike? And then once the Mass Pike was done,
it was supposed
to go away. But that never happened. So I think people do remember, and then they teach their kids, and they teach their grandkids, and this sort of adds to the, well, it's not supposed to be just one more tax, right? That was supposed to be specific for roads. Apparently it didn't happen. But
a bunch of tax you forever.
Well, but, it's like, and I hate nickel excise tax. We can talk about that another time. And I will finally, my final comment would be, to all of the little girls out there who might be watching, who are encouraged to go into math, encouraged to go into engineering, encouraged to follow STEM. Tonight, we now have a 3-female-led ZBA in Franklin. Right? So three incredibly qualified, bright women in their fields, predominantly male field, right? But they are the cream of the crop, and they're giving their time to help Franklin. So to all of you little girls out there that are watching, or maybe moms and dads that are watching, keep your kids in those math and engineering classes and tell those little girls that you're here can do anything. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Jean?
Well, I had a daughter who was in the STEM program, and I can say she got the most money of all the kids in, you know, who went through the college system. So they definitely incentivize women in STEM. So it's great. So parents listen to that. Think about it from the financial perspective. New items or whatever. I don't really understand that setting up subcommittees that you want to do, so we're going to do that.
Well, we just set up the joint, and then we'll do the economic development.
Okay. All right, awesome.
Mike's not here, so I didn't want to.
Okay.
I don't know when you're going to do all.
Oh, yeah. Economic development. I was in Stanford last weekend at this Pickleball America. That thing is freaking insane. If we have an open space, then we want to do pickleball.
I heard that's at Davis there 2 years ago.
Honestly,
who knows what they're talking about?
It was
been a cash cow.
It's all apartment or possible plan. Right?
Yeah.
Until 11 o'clock, and it's crowded.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just a couple more comments. One is about the meetings. A lot of people don't attend, like, say, finance committee, but I was looking online. People consume in different ways. I know I do.
Yeah.
I go on YouTube and I watch it. There were 461 views to date on that finance committee meeting. So people are watching, and I'm sure they'll get a lot more. Actually, I looked at one even was previous, like a few years later, and that had a lot less views.
Yeah.
So I think people are watching these meetings. It just may be consuming it differently. Final comment. It seems like so long ago, but there was a citizen comment that mentioned me by name.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about it, to be honest.
See that? Don't forget it. I'm not going to address the citizen comment. What I am going to say is that just so people in the public understand that there is something called Massachusetts State Ethics Commission. They advise town councils, you know, public employees on following the ethics rules. I've consulted with them multiple times, actually. I have a friend on that ethics commission now that we've spoke to many times. Making sure that I'm covering everything. So just so everyone is clear, there's a town councilor today. There's times where I might be an individual. I retain all the individual rights as an individual. I can't represent the town. I can't represent anyone else but myself. But as a member of town council, there's certain things that I'm not allowed to talk about, and so I'm going to talk about it. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
And a motion to adjourn?
No, wait.
You jumped the gun.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, buddy. Just a couple of things. I want to congratulate my daughter Laura and Joe. They got engaged on Saturday, so that was a pleasant surprise. I'd like to. It's a little bit of a sad note, but my good friend Mike Bertone passed away a week ago, last Sunday. So he's been a lifelong resident of Franklin, a Franklin Panther forever. He probably coached, he coached with me for 10 years, but before that he probably coached at least 30 years. I think the only time he didn't coach, he went to Nipmuc once for a head coaching job, but he was always at Franklin after that. And it showed when his wake was Friday night, and you had to wait an hour and a half in line because all his players came back to just to pay their respects. He was a great guy, he'll surely be missed. And to the family, to the Bertone family, condolences to them and his wife and his son and daughter, so. Outside of that, I'll take a motion to adjourn. All in favor, aye.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.